Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the NAFcast. It's been about a month since the last episode, episode 9 as we called it, and since then there's been a whole lot of Blood Bowl going on. There's been the NAF Championships in which the new gift was unveiled, and I've been to a couple of other Blood Bowl tournaments, and I'm going to talk about elements of those and sort of tie them into the wider Blood Bowl world. From now on I'm going to try and do NAFcasts a bit more regularly, possibly on a weekly basis, because I think short and sweet is probably the way to go. But that might not happen. It's a rash idea generally to make promises before actually going forward. But we'll see what comes out, and it'll be a nice surprise whenever they appear, I'm sure. So this episode, I'm going to talk about the new league director position that the voting is currently going on for. Well, the voting's going on in order to ratify it as a position, and then after that is hopefully carried, there'll be some elections going on. So I'll talk about those in a bit. I'll talk about the election, the other election process as well, in that we're going to sort of shorten that process. I'm going to talk a little bit about the World Cup and the software for that that's currently in development. And I'm going to talk about my adventures at a online tabletop, a tabletop version of an online league. And a little bit of a review of the NAF Championships as well. In future podcasts, I'm hoping to do interviews with the winners and runner-up of the NAF Championships, and the winner of the Best Painted as well. JTY has won the Best Painted Award at the NAF Championships the last few years, and it'd be really good to get some insights into his techniques and how he chooses models. So if you do have any questions that you'd like to be put to any of those people, do let me know via the usual channels of Twitter, Facebook, and officialnaf@gmail.com. There is a new Fumble tournament on the horizon as well. Registrations for that are currently ongoing, and so I'll give a quick rundown of that. And then anything else that occurs to me on the way through. Okay, on with the show. I've just joined the NAF committee, which is pretty exciting. Well, as exciting as committees get. NAF committee happens on a monthly basis and involves the president, the vice president, the treasurer, the tournament director, operations director, which is Lycos, and the membership director of Valdric. And it was recently decided that as the media bod, I would also join the committee. So I had my first committee meeting last Sunday, and as such I know a good amount about what's going on now. Joining the committee, hopefully, there's a vote going on at the moment to change the setup of the NAF committee so that the league director is a elected position, so he'll join the committee, or he or she will join the committee on the same basis as the tournament director, treasurer and president. And this is to give the NAF a bit more of a league focus, because every now and again things happen to do with the league. But with the advent of the new website, which is planned over the next year or so, there will be hopefully a bit more of a focus on leagues, because the tournament scene seems to be ticking over really well, but a bit more centralisation to the league, a bit more stat collecting and a bit more provision of resources to leagues as well will be the focus of the new league director position. If that's the sort of thing you think that you would be interested in taking part in, then you should absolutely put your name forward for the league director election. The timescale for that is that this week, so the week finishing I guess the 14th of July, if that's the Sunday, let's just check. Yeah, the week finishing 14th of July, there will be the poll for whether the NAF charter should be changed to make the league director a committee level position. Following that, there'll be a week of nominations, I think is the plan, and then a week of Q&A for those people who have been nominated and seconded to stand for league director, and then there'll be a week of voting. And then we'll have a new league director on the NAF committee. That process is going to mirror the truncated election process for the officer positions. The next one of those is the presidential election. And now last time there was a certain amount of feedback that that election went on for a very, very long time. And so again, once the nominations for that open, there'll be a week of nominations, a week of Q&A, and then a week of voting, with the Q&A continuing throughout the voting process. So, and that'll be plenty of time. So 3 weeks is actually plenty of time for people to make up their minds, in terms of the number of people who vote for those positions. So that'll be around the turn of the year. So after the World Cup, that process will be put into place. And that's followed by the tournament director and the treasurer elections, in the new year, which will again be that shortened 3 week, process. One of the things that was talked about at the committee meeting was the World Cup software, which is currently being developed and is in now in the beta testing phase, and will be being sent out to national tournament organisers and a few other interested parties in the next few weeks. Following feedback, that'll obviously enter the next testing phase, and the idea is that it will be used at lots and lots of tournaments over the next few months before being used for the big one, which is the World Cup. The obvious question is, what's wrong with Score? Score is a fantastic piece of software, and lots of tournaments use it, sort of every weekend, really, to run their tournaments quite successfully. And I ask the question quite often, what's wrong with Score? You can do everything in it. But it was pointed out to me that there will be 1,000 people, pretty much, give or take, 900 at the World Cup, which is 450 games. Each piece of data from a game takes about 20 seconds to enter if you're pretty speedy. 450 games times 20 seconds is 150 minutes, which is 2.5 hours to enter data if you have one a data entry point. And so obviously that's not a very sensible solution. So the main focus of the new piece of software is that it will be web-based, and you will be able to enter data at more than one data entry point. So there's obviously a certain amount of testing that needs to go on with that, and that's the sort of process that we're entering now. The other brilliant thing is that you will be able to enter data live onto the website. So the software is being developed, and it is being developed by a professional company. NAF funds are being used to pay for it, and it will be tied into the new website. It's the same company that are developing the new website, and obviously there will be a feedback and development process for the new website as well. But the scoring software and the website will be integral to each other, which will make life a lot easier for uploading results and all this sort of thing. A lot of the manual requirements will be taken out of the process. Those were the main elements of the committee meeting. The other one was the restructuring of the fees. It was decided that US coaches who pay in person, who rejoin the NAF or join the NAF in person, will pay $5 instead of the $10 online. Couple of reasons for that was just to encourage people to join the NAF, really, and when they're at tournaments. And then various people pointed out that there was a certain amount of unfairness, and different people have been paying different amounts around the world, for a little while, to be honest, because they pay in euros or they pay in dollars, and obviously the currency fluctuates. And one of the sort of main reasons for the amount that is chosen to pay is to do with making it easy for tournament organisers to take money and for NAF representatives to take money. So it's now 5 euros in person at a European tournament. It's £5 at a UK tournament, and it's now $5 in person at a US tournament. But obviously, as currencies fluctuate, that's more or less beneficial to different people. Paying in person rather than paying online in the US obviously saves the postage cost, and so a certain amount of that money is recouped anyway. As well as that, there is now an under 16 membership level, where if you are under 16, then you can pay, you don't have to pay to join the NAF. If you're playing in a tournament and you're under 16, you can join the NAF, which is a fantastic little initiative there, I think. Not just because I have two under 16 Blood Bowl players, because they're already NAF members, but it'll benefit me over the next 5 years. But hopefully it'll benefit loads of people as well as the next generation come through. I know I'm planning to start a Blood Bowl club at my school. There's another club at at Caterham School where the Pink Shirts represent, at quite a few local Southern British Blood Bowl tournaments, which is fantastic. And anything we can do to encourage the sort of next generation through to joining the NAF and playing tabletop tournaments would be great. It keeps the game alive, and very difficult to argue against that, really. So those were absolutely the main elements. And you can see the minutes for that NAF committee meeting at thenaf.net. They're going to be posted there. They have been for a while, but I'm taking those minutes now, and they will actually appear pretty quickly after each committee meeting, and will be tweeted out and Facebooked out and so on, with the sort of headlines really highlighted on various bits of social media. So, last time I did a NAFcast, I was just setting out on a mammoth Blood Bowl month for me, where I had three Blood Bowl weekends in a row. And this was just because they sort of evolved one after the other quite nicely. I normally try and space them out, and the way I'm feeling now reminds me why I try and space them out, because I'm absolutely knackered, having had three weekends travelling away, doing the thing that I love doing, but it's still more tiring than being at home, basically. The first of those tournaments was the Mighty NAF Championships, which this year had 150 coaches taking part, and as well as the two or three officials who are running the tournament. Numbers slightly down on previous years, obviously because it's a World Cup year, so you get fewer travelling, and even British coaches are saving their money for the trip to the Blood Bowl World Cup later in the year, which is entirely fair enough. But we still had a fantastic turnout, including lots and lots of coaches from different countries. We had German coaches, French coaches, Spanish coaches, Italian coaches, and two coaches from Malta for the first time, which is fantastic. It's a little bit of a shame they ended up playing each other in round one, otherwise there might have been a redraw. But later on in one of the rounds, they ended up playing each other. But I think they had a nice time, and there is talk of a Maltese team at the Euro Bowl, a Maltese team at the World Cup, and the NAF is doing a lot to support basically what is a new area in the world for Blood Bowl. They've got a league of about a dozen people, I think, and anything we can do to get the word out to more people or support them with resources and things like that. There are definite NAF moves to get them on board. So if you do know any areas of the world where there is a sort of small but potential Blood Bowl population, that's the sort of thing that NAF can do, is to help people out by spreading the word. Doesn't really fit in here, but there's a little bit of a stream of consciousness feel to this and future NAFcasts and past NAFcasts as well. But one of the things we have been doing to help get the word out is we've put together a Blood Bowl leaflet. It's a sort of Z-fold piece of A4 folded into three, with some pretty pictures that I took at the NAF Championship of some nice teams, nice big crowd photo showing the number of people who take part, and then a certain amount of bump on the inside. So a description of what Blood Bowl is, a description of how to play it, and block dice, and how the rules have evolved. It's to give out at demos, basically. If someone comes up to you and says, "Oh, what's this game you're playing?" you can hand them over a leaflet. We've had a certain amount professionally printed because they look very shiny, and I'm sending those to people who've let me know that they're doing a specific convention. So a few went down to Southeast England last weekend. I gave some to the Welsh guys who are doing a convention in Newport, and there's going to be some going up to Scotland as well. But if anyone is doing a convention, you've got a couple of options. You can get in touch with me via social media or via the website and ask me to send you some over, which would be fine. Or you can get the PDF from the NAF.net and print them off yourself. Might be a good idea if you are doing a convention to get some pro printed, because they do look a lot nicer if they're pro printed rather than just on a home printer. But then again, I suppose it depends how good quality your home printer is. Mine, the colours were a bit faded and so on, but they do look nice. We're also in the process of getting the leaflets translated into Spanish, into German, into French and into Italian, as well as translated onto a different size of paper for the American guys. because they don't use A4. And so that leaflet, I wrote the words, and various people have helped translating, but the, as ever, the fantastic work that's going into the graphics for that comes from Manticore Rich, who's been tireless in putting together the various paragraphs of different lengths from different languages, and dealing with me saying, I prefer this picture, and, you know, can you just tweak that a little bit? Oh, the printers have needed this bit to be tweaked. So I probably haven't been the easiest client, but massive thanks to him for doing that. It was a pleasure to play him as well at the NAF Championships recently. Particular pleasure because my Slan defeated his Dark Elves. So that's always nice. So I had a really good day at the NAF Championships. I took Slan. I'd had a previous tournament with Slan which had gone reasonably successfully. And so I had pretty high hopes. And then I... three wins on day one, which is fantastic. I won't go through sort of on a win-by-win basis. If you want to read about that, I sort of wrote up my day on the NAF.net. I did that Sunday morning while sitting at the amazing breakfast at the Orchard. So I got there quite early and plonked my computer down, ate my sausages, and then wrote, just to give the example of being the media guy, to show that I was doing the whole journalisting thing, and chatted to a few people about the day, which was very cool. I enjoyed that partly because of the people I played. So two of the guys I played I had lots of interactions with on Twitter, and I don't think I'd played them before on tabletop, which was great. And then the third game against Rich. So two Dark Elves, and then one Undead. And the Undead was against a Howling Griffin. So game three. And I'm just gonna highlight one fantastically amazing bit of sportsmanship where I was trying to stop him scoring in turn 16, which would have made it 2-1 to him. And he uttered the immortal words, "You can still win this." And so I looked at it and thought, "Oh yeah, I could." And then I rolled the appropriate dice and came away with the win. And so it was just a brilliant bit of sportsmanship there. So well done him. And I know he listens occasionally, so give him a bit of a shout out. Speaking of shout outs, worth always a mention for J-Bone from the Double Skulls podcast. We had some really good chats at the NAF Championship, and I'm looking forward to hearing his reviews of that. Haven't quite caught up with those yet. I think he had a good time, and I took some pictures of his figures. Don't know if he got any interviews. We both had these fantastic plans to take our tablets and phones and get recording of various interviews with various people who were there. But I just haven't quite got the hang of that yet. I haven't got the American way of going up to people and saying, "Hey, could you talk into this phone?" Because I know that Chance from 3Die Block came over to the NAF Champs last year, and he got some actually fantastic interviews. He got an interview with Jervis, and he interviewed each of his opponents after the game. And I just, despite this being a mighty 10th episode of the NAFcast, I still haven't got the reporter's urge to do that. Maybe episode 20, episode 25. Or maybe not. But I'm still planning to catch up with people after the event. So I've done a few interviews on Skype, and I will try and get some more of those as we go on. If you think you have something you'd like to talk about on Skype, then just do get in touch, and I will arrange that, certainly. I've just had a brilliant thought, which is that Frank from Threadball might well be up for talking about that. Threadball, for those who don't know, is this amazing charity Blood Bowl tournament. There are lots. There's a few charity Blood Bowl tournaments out there. I know there's a couple in the US, one that does one for veterans and one that does one for another good cause. And those get massively supported by loads of sponsors. Threadball is the British version and has raised £10,000 over the years for the Roy Castle Lung Cancer Foundation. It's an absolutely brilliant cause, and Frank, who runs it, is tireless in his excuse me, in his foolish pursuit of lots of fun times for the weekend. It's an absolutely brilliant tournament and is seen as the highlight of the Blood Bowl calendar for lots of people. For me, it's fantastic because you can camp there, and I'm quite a big camper, and you can camp in the grounds of the community centre where it's held. And then the sort of games themselves are really good. It's a really nice rule pack where you can sort of build stars, they're called, and different races have different numbers of stars they're allowed. So last year I took lizards, and you can build different numbers of stars, but then none of them allowed to be identical. So I had a block tackle Saurus, and I had a block guard Saurus, a block mighty blow Saurus, and a block frenzy Saurus, I think it was. And I won all six games, so it's a happy hunting ground for me, as well as being a fantastic tournament. And there's always lots of side things going on as well. So last year he had Zorbing, which is massive inflatable balls that you sit inside and try and bash people. And the year before he had Pugil Sticks. So this is the 10th anniversary coming up, and will be the last time Frank's running it, because he's getting old and decrepit. And so he's going to hand it over to the Bognor Regis Gaming Club, who will hopefully take it over and will hopefully do a brilliant job. But if you can at all get to Bognor in August, then I would thoroughly recommend it. Part of that, they do a fantastic auction where people spend huge amounts of money on figures and teams and board games that people have donated, and all sorts of stuff there. But yeah, definitely check that out. If you're at all within travelling distance of the south of England, there's a bunch of French people come over who usually have a sideline competition between them as to who could cause the most casualties through fouling. And it's just this absolutely brilliant tournament where everything has built up over the years to make it lots and lots of fun. And I'm taking my kids to it as well, which is always nice. So where did I come in? That was to do with getting Frank onto a future podcast. So Frank, if you are listening, I'll have you on. He's not the most technologically minded of guys, so I might need to encourage someone to show him how Skype works, but you never know, it might be worth doing. So yeah, no interviews so far from the NAF Championship weekend, but it was lots and lots of fun. Went pretty smoothly. A few technical problems with the laptop meant that I couldn't do this sort of live streaming that I wanted to do. I did take my webcam, I did take my laptop for my YouTube channel. I've got a few live streamed games on there, and I really wanted to get the NAF Championship final, but the referee's laptop wasn't playing ball and didn't want to talk to the internet. So in order to get the scores online, which is a brilliant thing that the NAF Championship does, and I could thoroughly recommend that to everyone, they had to use my computer to do the scoring, which is fine, and it meant that I could concentrate on playing my games, and which came off quite well on the Saturday with three wins. But then I ran into Pippi and his lizards in game four, and the dice were not with me, which meant that it was not a close game. It might have been a close game if the dice had been with me, because Slan, I had a wrestle and a block Slan lineman, and when you've got a strength 2 ball carrier and he didn't have any guard either, it means that it's quite difficult to protect the skink. So there would have been chances to get in there, but the very first one of those was 2, followed by 2, followed by dead. So didn't go well, and it wasn't close, and Pippi marched on and actually made it to the final, so very well done to him. And then after that I just had another couple of games, and had a really nice weekend, including a fantastic amount of gaming on Saturday evening. I had the honour of judging the most best painted this year, and there was, as ever, a really, really high standard. We had some regulars there. Darren Lysenko's halflings, absolutely lovely with pink tinges. You can see photos of all of those on the NAF.net, because I had my camera with me and had my light box, so I was able to take the photos and then took part in the judging as well. JTY got the win again this year with his orcs, including a fantastic boar that's used as the troll. Really, really nice figures and nicely painted, and hopefully I'll be able to catch up with him soon about the techniques and what he thinks about painting and painting competitions. I know he's got some strong views. Those of you who met him will be able to attest to that. And it should be a nice chat. We have had discussions about the state of Best Painted previously, so be able to have those online as well, hopefully. Sort of launched at the NAF Championship, so one of the new things was that the Golden Gauntlet has now started. So that's going to run from one NAF Championships until the next NAF Championships, and is a British-wide tournament series. I know that the UK already has a few tournament series. We've got the Southwest one, we've got the Northern Tournament Series and the Scottish Tournament Series as well. Apologies to any that I've forgotten. And this is a British one that will cover the whole of, obviously, Britain. And will include all British NAF-ranked tournaments. And then we'll also have 10 what is calling majors. I think they're called majors. But sort of flagship events, some of which will stay the same each year, some of which will rotate. So it'll always include the NAF Championships, for example. And then at the moment, it's got three big Southern tournaments, three big Scottish tournaments, three big Northern tournaments. That adds up to more than 10, probably. But anyway, you could see all the details on the NAF.net. And the idea is that if you win tournaments, you get prizes, and then so you get points, sorry, and then points lead to prizes in the best traditions. And so, the Golden Gauntlet, check that out. It's a nice side competition to give a bit more of an edge to tournaments and recording those tournaments over time and probably crowning a Best Blood Bowl of the Year award, which some people might take seriously and others less so. That'll be fun. So the contrast there for me then was the NAF Championships one weekend, which is the big flagship NAF event, and straight after that I went back up to Nottingham again for a UK BBL tabletop event. So the UK BBL is the UK Blood Bowl League, which is a cyanide based league, and they have an invitational tabletop tournament. And one of the reasons I joined UK BBL was because I knew about the tabletop tournament and I wanted to see, you know, what it was like, and I'd never been to a non-NAF tournament, and just sort of to spread the word a little bit as well. So the bonus is that I've been really enjoying playing online in the league. I've had my humans, who are now developing into a bit of a decent team. Haven't quite managed to win the league yet, but I'm ticking it over quite nicely. And so then by virtue of it being a non-NAF tournament, I was able to play Korn, which is a team that I'd played on tabletop in my league, and I've played on Cyanide a little bit as well, but never had the chance to play in a tournament. So I jumped at the chance to play my 25th race in a tournament. I just need to take the apes out in an American tournament now, and I'll be up to 26. As far as I know, there's only one person who's played 25 as well, and that's Rolex in Italy. He got there a very long time before me, but well done him. So the tournament was very cool. It was very similar to a NAF tournament, to be honest. I was the only dice cup in the room, which is the big noticeable difference, which meant that because I took up my my nice homemade pitch, which has got a polystyrene board on it, it meant that the dice were bouncing everywhere, which made the games quite entertaining. The setup was very similar, obviously. They added different scoring software, which I might try and get hold of and have a look at. Sometimes basically spreadsheet-based rather than using score. A lot of nice side competitions to do with the number of go-for-its and so on. Someone managed to do 96 go-for-its in a game, which was a bit mental, and taking the side competition quite seriously with two goblin pogoers. Yeah, lots of fun. But yeah, lots of nice people. The contrast for me was that at the NAF Championships, I looked at the list of 150 people going, and I reckon I could put names to about 110 of those who were going to be going, which is pretty cool because I've been doing like tournaments for a little while. I think 47 now. And then going from that to the UK BBL one, where I think I only knew one or two of the coaches who were going, like by face. And had a brilliant time. Everyone was really hospitable. Big shout out to a guy called Corbor, not his real name, obviously, who allowed me to crash on his sofa bed, and then I got lifts to and from the venue so I could have drinks and so on. I lent out a couple of players and stuff, which was cool, allowing people to use different star players, and just everyone was thoroughly welcoming, which was great. Had a really good chat on the Sunday morning breakfast with people about the NAF, and I think generally showed that NAF tournaments are a good thing to go to, and are very, very similar in fact to the one that they do, and it's a good bunch of people. So I'm hoping to see a few more of those guys at a NAF tournament near you sometime soon. One of the things they were really keen on was team tournaments, because there was a lot of chat about making the UK BBL tabletop tournament a team tournament. So obviously I took the chance to mention the UK Team Challenge, which is the one run by Pipey, and that takes place in January in York. And that's a sort of really high standard Blood Bowl tournament where you get teams of four, including international teams, challenging to sort of be the best team in the UK, in a Euro Bowl stroke World Cup kind of way. And so I'm hoping to see a few teams at that from the Cyanide League, which would be very cool. Can't make it myself because my Blood Bowl off season is looming, September to January. I don't really do very many tournaments, and so I've managed to pack in as many into my actual season as I can this year. I think I've done more than ever before, really. Lots and lots of fun, especially spending lots of money on them, because my two boys have come along with me for a fair few of them. Most recent of ones was Cake Bowl, this weekend just gone, which is the Swindon tournament. So the contrast for me was going up to the flagship one, then going to a non-NAF, and then go to my local tournament, where I could sort of roll out of bed at 8:30 and still make it to the tournament, which was certainly a big bonus from that point of view. This is a brilliant tournament, I think, with a fantastic rule set. Other people disagree, but I really like it in that you're allowed to give six skills to players on the first day and then another six on the second day. So by day two, basically every player has a skill of some sort. There's no spamming limit, so you can give the same skill to loads and loads of players, and you can swap two normal skills for a double skill at will. So you can end up with six double skills if you wanted. And equally, you can pay 3 points for a stat upgrade. So 1 point for a normal skill, 2 points for a double skill, 3 points for a stat upgrade, and you just get 6 points per day to spend. So we saw some really entertaining builds, and then we saw some dwarfs with an absolute truckload of guard, who this year managed to win the tournament. So well done to Dionysian for pulling that one off. Didn't make himself particularly popular in the process, but that's not what this game's about, is it? It's about winning! Yeah, absolutely. So no more tournaments for me until Thrud. And then the World Cup. And Hairy Pete's competition, Exe Bowl, in September as well, which is a one-day tournament, which is definitely worth going to. It's going to be a massive one-day tournament in a few years, I think, that one. It had a really good year last year. Started with 30, I think it was. Probably going to be looking at more than that this year. And I think one-day tournaments are very popular amongst quite a lot of people. So good luck to him for that one. Definitely worth checking that one out as well. Last thing from me is a quick mention for the next Fumble Online NAF tournament, which is based on the rules of the Dutch Open. So fairly simple 1100 build again. So obviously do go and check on Fumble in case I get any of these rules wrong. And this one's only got four skills, so you get a skill before games 2 to 5. So not very many skills at all on this one. But apart from that, it's going to be Swiss again. And it's definitely worth checking these ones out because they're really good tournament practice, because you get your you get your 1100 team, and then you stick with the same team in a resurrection kind of way. You guys know about resurrection tournaments. That's how they work. And this is the online version. Again, registrations for that close on the 14th of July. So do get online and get registered for that as soon as you can. So, as I say, hoping to do another one of these possibly next Tuesday or so. Tuesday's quite a good day for me because I have the house to myself, so I can chatter away into the microphone without anyone thinking I'm bonkers. If you have anything you'd like me to talk about, then do get in touch, and hopefully I will find another few minutes worth of stuff to talk about in the next week or so, including the results of the league director election and the sort of makeup of, not the results of the election, the results of the poll to do with the election, and then the makeup of the Dutch Open online and a review of any tournaments that anyone wants to tell me about. Okay, catch you soon. Bye.